Right now, we plan to bring in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News. Brian joins us here on a Thursday morning, and we talk about stories and the way they're covered. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Marshall. Pleased to be here.
Well, we finally have the House and the Senate set, except for Herschel Walker.
And, you know, we've got the announcement of the first presidential candidate, Donald Trump. Some are calling, he finally gave his concession speech, widely panned for having no energy and no real ideas.
Well, you know, it's and the networks have done the same thing with this speech. What they would do with every other candidate, they would have cut it off at, I announced my candidacy for president. But they stick with him for the hour, hour and 10 minutes. You know, they have not learned any lessons at all from a little while ago. They just stick with every word he says because it means ratings, and it's unfair to other candidates who don't get that kind of treatment.
That's absolutely how it works. It's not really so much the politics of the network bosses as the bottom line. And you know, they're all suffering terrible losses with layoffs coming at CNN and ABC and NBC. So the focus is on the bottom line. And as long as Donald Trump can deliver ratings, he'll get attention on the air. And lots of concessions made to him just because they could see the ratings spike when he came on. But I think by giving him, they gave him enough rope to hang himself. This announcement really fell flat. It lost its timeliness. He had no energy, as many have commented, and it didn't really capture the country at all. And the New York Post, under apparently orders from Rupert Murdoch at the Wall Street Journal and Fox, the New York Post headline on the front page was a little banner across the bottom with no picture, just said, "Florida man makes announcement." That story buried somewhere in the paper.
Florida man makes announcement. All right, got to give him a credit. Got to give the Murdochs a credit for having
and
a sense.
And you know, from the point of view of Democrats, he's been great because almost every single candidate he endorsed or put forward suffered defeat at the polls, and many Democrats glad to see him run because he doesn't bring the success anymore. And that's why Republicans are cutting ties with him. I think finally, you know, after all that we've seen from Donald Trump, the, you know, mocking John McCain and that Hollywood extra tape, mocking, you know, what he does with women, all of that, impeachments, encouraging the incursion into the Capitol, and nothing seemed to stick. Finally, the fact that he couldn't win elections, the Republicans said, all right, now enough.
You know, an interesting thing about the elections, and over the years, the Republicans had a great strategy, win governorships, win state houses, and affect change that way. Well, in this midterm election, the Democrats picked up so many governorships that now the Democrats have 24, and the Republicans have 26. So finally, the Democrats are starting to look like they're playing the long game when it comes to state by state by state, finally.
Exactly. In this morning's New York Times, Howard Wolfson, who was a advisor to Hillary Clinton, deputy mayor under Bloomberg in New York City, a fascinating column which he points to how one-party rule by Democrats in New York State, just across the line there, really hurt Democrats because they came forward with a crazy gerrymandered congressional districts that would have hugely favored Democrats. The courts threw it out, and no state lost more Democratic House seats than New York. Six of them were lost. If the Democrats in the New York state legislature had not acted as they did, Wolfson argues, there'd be a Democratic majority in the House today.
Yeah, and like I said to people, gerrymandering is not a one party or the other. They both do it, and
of course
and,
not.
And but to win the governorships, I thought was a pretty good feat. Now I did not
you're right about that. Yeah,
I did not watch it, but did you watch Mike Pence at all last night?
On ABC the other night, no, I did not. I saw the clips from him. Yeah. You know, I kind of think he's trying to have it both ways, frankly.
Wait. Well, that's what he, especially early on. Yeah, I think you're right. And over the long run, that's not going to succeed at all.
For a Republican now, you know, can you really kind of straddle, like, I don't like Trump, but I like his policies? That's what he's trying to do and suggest, but, you know, not until January 6th did Mike Pence see the light about Donald Trump, and you wonder about his sort of loyal support throughout so much of the Trump presidency up until the very end. Nevertheless, it can't be denied, he did the right thing at the end. He stood tall.
Well, I want to switch over to the Ukraine and the war with Russia, because quite simply something happened, which happens in war, and which could have sparked something very, very, very dangerous, and that Ukraine, with their trying to shoot down Russian missiles, like Israel found out earlier on with Iron Dome, the early stages of Iron Dome, when you shoot missiles down, sometimes the missiles that you shoot down that are coming in for you fall in populated areas. And what happened in the Ukraine could have really sparked something very, very serious. Thank God there's enough military intelligence that found out how that rocket fell into Poland.
Right, and it underscores, of course, the sort of the powder keg that we're all sitting on with the U.S. In kind of a proxy war with Russia through Ukraine. You know, one false step, and who knows what's going to happen. You know, at first, as you reported, believed that the Russians had done this, and then there was it like DEFCON 5 suddenly, that we're about to have a war with Russia. That finally, when President Biden came out and said, doesn't appear, it's unlikely it's a Russian launched a strike, everyone took a deep breath. But it just, again, underscored the danger of the situation right now. You know, one errant missile, one miscalculation, one rogue Russian general, we could find ourselves in a very, very dangerous situation.
And you mentioned about Biden. One thing I appreciate about his presidency, I don't always agree with everything he does. I agree with most of what he does. But what I agree with most of how he handles situations, I think he handled the situation with that rocket that crashed in Poland extremely well, said the right thing at the right time to calm everything down, and also his meeting with China, I thought, was handled very good, very low-key. I just think that's what the United States needs in the world right now, is exactly what he's delivering.
I think you're right. His slow and steady approach has been criticized by many members of his own party, and he shouldn't run again. But it has been slow and steady, and a firm hand on the tiller, gaffes here and there in public speaking. But in terms of foreign policy, if there's a way to repair relationships with China, keep the NATO alliance together to support Ukraine, that's not necessarily a snap, you know, easy thing to do. That's not a slam dunk. And he and his administration, Tony Blinken, they've done a very good job on that.
And finally, is this the final chapter? Nancy Pelosi is going to address her future plans today. being head of the House for at least the next 2 years, do you think that this might be a time, with especially what happened to her husband, for her just to say, you know, this is it, I'm going to take some time off?
Yeah, well, some time off would be goodbye, I think.
Yeah.
I think those are all the, you know, the smoke signals we're trying to read. She's been in the situation before and has continued on. Hard to know. I think it's very hard to know what she's going to do. Lots of pressure, I think, from younger Democrats for her to move on. She's become a bit of a lightning rod, you know, in terms of Republicans' ability to attack her. But she, you know, she found a way to hold together that consortium of Democrats, a wide range of views and policy objectives. That's not an easy job. And so her successor, whoever that might be, and there's some talk, it's Congressman Jeffries in New York, big shoes to fill if she does in fact step down.
All right. And one final thing, and that is, NASA has been going through some very bad public relations lately with SpaceX launching satellites and rockets all over the place without a problem. And their big project was on the pad for so long with so many different miscues. But there still was a feeling of something great when you saw Artemis take off in the night the other night, and know that not only is NASA back with its astronauts, but also the technology to continue to dive deep into space.
Right, and I don't think they can be faulted for waiting to get it right.
No.
Nothing can be worse than a failed launch. And that's what they did, and hats off to them. I think there's still a sense of pride at all that, lots of costs, but you know, we need to know what's going on in the rest of the universe.
And here's the interesting thing about that launch, Brian, is that rocket is only slightly more powerful than the rocket that NASA created to take men to the moon. How many years ago was that? It's absolutely amazing when you think how long it's been since we sent the last manned mission to the moon, and once again now we've redeveloped a different type of rocket to help take it there. It's amazing when you look at the gap of time.
It really, I think whenever I see these kinds of things, it's it gives you a sense that, you know, we are better than we think we are. We're doing lots of great things.
Absolutely. Brian, it's always great to speak with you. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak with you next week right before, let's see. Next week will be Thanksgiving, won't it be?
Are you going to be working Thanksgiving morning?
Yes, I will. Do you don't mind being bothered by a call on Thanksgiving morning?
Give me a holler. We'll talk about what we have to be thankful for.
All right. Brian, have a good week. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right.
Take care.
Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.